Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 22nd, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
Doing great, man.
Awesome. I'm really glad to have you here. And John Martellaro, I hope you're doing well.
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. It's awesome to have both of you here today, especially because we're talking about like really serious stuff, and we have a lot to try and sort through today. So I think we should just jump right in.
Boy, you sure cast it wrong.
Okay, cast it for me better, Brian.
I don't know. Someone other than me. Serious stuff. Seems just a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, Brian, sometimes life is a roller coaster, and we're simply along for the ride. So I say let's put our hands in the air and wave like we just don't care.
Okay. All right. Giddy up.
All right. Okay. So let's start with what you were covering over the weekend. And by the way, thank you for taking time out of your weekend to get more news and analysis up for our readers. You, sir, rock.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you jumped in on the weekend with some more information related to the whole Apple FBI thing, where the FBI is trying to compel Apple to create this hackable version of iOS that they can use as part of their investigation related to the San Bernardino terrorist shootings from December.
Well, we knew from earlier in the week that the password for the iCloud account used by the terrorist in this case, was changed 24 hours, roughly 24 hours after the government took possession of the iPhone also used.
Right. And this iPhone in question was a business-issued iPhone from the county, San Bernardino County.
Yeah. Specifically the San Bernardino Health Department. Mm-hmm. And which owned both the iCloud account and the iPhone itself. And so we knew from earlier in the week that they had changed the password. And the way that news first came out, it really kind of seemed like they had changed the password on their own initiative for some reason. Like they.
County decided to change a passcode.
Right. For instance, it could well be a standard policy to change passwords when an employee leaves employment, when employment is terminated in some way.
And in this case, employment was definitely
terminated. Yeah. But apparently that wasn't the case, because the county tweeted, and I quote, the county was working, or sorry, the health department, no, this would actually be the county that did this. The county was working cooperatively with the FBI when it reset the iCloud password at the FBI's request. In other words, don't blame us.
Right. That's a pretty clear statement. They're saying we changed the passcode because the FBI told us to.
Yeah. And the fact that the FBI had told them so had somehow been left out of the reports that it had been done. So they wanted to make it clear that they were doing so under order. They confirmed that the tweet was legitimate with BuzzFeed and possibly some other news organizations, but they didn't add anything in addition to it. But it does, of course, beg the question as to why. I immediately saw, just even in the Twitter responses to that tweet, there was at least one person saying that the FBI had done this on purpose so that they could use this case to force Apple to, get this precedent that they want. I personally think that's nonsense. Occam's Razor says that the FBI asked for the password to be changed so that they could have it and access the iCloud account. The fact that it then kept an automatic backup from happening, which is one of Apple's suggestions, was merely collateral damage to that. It certainly wasn't the purpose. There's just no way. I don't believe it.
I agree with you. I think this was simply the FBI making a really bad decision.
A- And to explain that, so once the iCloud account was changed through the reset process, the phone, the iPhone, could no longer know that password until someone could get into the iPhone and change it in the iPhone 2.
Correct. And the government did not know, and still does not know, the passcode for that iPhone. Therefore, they can't get into it and put this new iCloud password in, or get in it at any additional information that may be stored on the phone.
Right. So when Apple went to go and take the phone to a known and trusted network so that it would do an automatic backup, that the phone didn't know the password, that automatic backup couldn't take place. Although, I have, this is strictly my opinion, in that the last automated iCloud backup in the first place had been done, I think, on October 19th. Mm-hmm. My personal guess is that that method probably wouldn't have worked anyway, but you never know. We will never know.
We will never know, but I'm inclined to agree with you, Brian, because if there hadn't been a backup since mid-October and this device had been on trusted networks, because it most likely had, considering the suspect had been at work, and that would be a trusted network.
And at home, the implication was that they took it to the home network.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But regardless of whatever network it went on to, if there weren't any backup since mid-October, that feature probably had been shut off. So it was not backing up.
Right. Most likely.
Correct. Most likely. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think the likelihood that this is a case where the FBI intentionally did something to be able to force the path that they're on now, I think that's really off base.
Yeah, it's just kind of all of which makes for this perfect storm for having this be the test case that the FBI wants to be able to get some case law down that compels Apple to essentially become their forensics agent, which is one of the things that Apple is complaining about.
And I think rightly so. I do not think it's the place of a private company, meaning a non-government entity, to be compelled to be a forensic agent for the government. And that's exactly what we're looking at here.
Yeah, that's definitely a dangerous precedent. I believe that forensics is and I have no idea what the law says on this. So if anyone else knows, please feel free to correct me or add to it or whatever. What's the email address?
The email address would be observations@macobserver.com.
To me, things like forensics is the domain of law enforcement, and I don't think that we really want to be living in a society where companies are routinely pressed into the job of being adjuncts of the forensic forces.
Just after the court order, it's a little bit obnoxious, but if the FBI had not issued a court order and simply asked for technical help from Apple in the early days, I don't see a problem with that. For the FBI to go, hey, look, we're not quite up to speed. We need a little bit of technical assistance. Can we ask you some questions about how this works so that they don't make a mistake? That, in my mind, asking for technical help from Apple on a friendly, cooperative basis before the court order came slamming down on Apple would have been okay.
Well, and that's been going on. And in fact, it was going on more and more and more and more and more, which is one of the things that Apple is complaining about in its reaction to this. And I think that a lot of, you certainly have to respond to any lawfully issued warrants that come your way. Mm-hmm. But the aspect of this that is troubling is for Apple to crack open that phone. And that's, yes, that's where it be, that's where it, that's where it becomes troubling to me.
Now, Apple also has a document that's available to all law enforcement that says, this is exactly what we can do for you. This is exactly what you must do before we will do these things for you. So so Apple does have the ability to retrieve certain types of information in very specific circumstances through iCloud for law enforcement. And anything that falls outside of that, Apple can't do. And from what I understand, a lot of the restrictions that Apple puts on what they can provide to law enforcement is not based on a whim, but based on the technological limitations that Apple has put in place to create better security for us as users. And that in and of itself, I think, qualifies for what most law enforcement would need as direct assistance, or at least a consultation when working with a device. Now, of course, Apple is willing to work with law enforcement, so they can tell law enforcement agencies things like, "Yeah, resetting an iCloud password like that is going to be a bad idea." Mm-hmm. But in this case, that didn't happen because it was a month later when the FBI enlisted Apple's help.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't a bad idea for what the FBI wanted to do, which was to get access to the iCloud account and the data in that iCloud account, right? I mean, that accomplished what the FBI wanted. They were then able to log into the iCloud account and see whatever was online. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think that was a bad idea. I mean, remember that it was Apple that this whole business about doing the automatic backup and triggering an automatic backup was one of four things suggested by Apple. Mm-hmm. And in that, Apple suggested it in the first place. I can't really blame the FBI for wanting to quickly access that iCloud account and see what kind of email, you know. Keep in mind that they'd be able to read any email, right?
Yeah, well,
they'd be able any to see any appointments, or you know,
they would be able to read any email that was part of the iCloud email account.
Correct, and well, you know, wanting that seems to be pretty darn legitimate to me.
Yes, absolutely. I will grant you that. Absolutely. Now, considering that Apple was able to give them all the most recent backup data, that plays back to what you were saying earlier, where the suspects probably shut off the iCloud backup feature on their iPhone. So the FBI wasn't going to get any more information.
No. But they would have still have had access to the iCloud email stuff.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
And they would have had access to anything that was up there before the 19th of October.
They did have access to all that. Apple gave them all of that.
In January.
Right. Yes, that's true. In January.
And this password reset took place in...
In December.
In early December. Mm-hmm. So 24 hours of the iPhone having been confiscated in the first place.
So very likely on December 3rd.
Is that seized or confiscated instead of out of pedantic curiosity?
In this case, it would be seized, I believe.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, so this brings us up to where we are today. Tim Cook sent out an email to Apple employees, and then Apple also posted a public FAQ relating to this whole case. And Apple's stance right now is that we should do what some politicians have suggested, which is instead of pushing forward with the FBI's or with the order that the FBI obtained, I changed the wording for you, Brian, because mostly pedantic. And yay. Yeah, and instead of going with that court order, what should happen is that a special commission or panel is put together that's comprised of industry experts and the companies that would be involved in these sorts of activities, you know, as far as being compelled to essentially hack into their own devices, and law enforcement and politicians. So you get everyone that would have their fingers in this pie anyhow, and put them together and educate people and learn what it is that law enforcement is after, and then law enforcement can learn what it is that companies right now can reasonably provide, and hash out what the security issues and privacy issues are, and then come to a more or less agreed consensus about what's appropriate for companies to do in conjunction with law enforcement and government agencies.
I mean, yeah, that's great. And that is something that should probably happen. But I'm tense with the FBI's aim. I'm not tense with their methods here. In other words,
I'm very tense with their methods right now. Go ahead, and then I'll explain to you why I'm tense.
The FBI using the court system, this is why the court system is there. They're using something called the All Writs Act, which is a relic of the late 18th century. It's actually the same. It's part of the same act, or it is the same act that created the Supreme Court to begin with. It essentially says that anything that Congress has not addressed through statute can be done through compulsion. I'm not saying that well at all, but in other words, if Congress hasn't addressed this, law enforcement can ask the courts for it to happen.
Right, which is what the FBI is doing right now.
Right, and they've been doing this for two centuries. It's been obviously not obviously, but in it's been accelerated in recent decades. This All Writs Act gets invoked more and more and more. But rightly or wrongly, this is the process. This is what the courts do. I don't see this as legislation from the bench. I see this as the courts interpreting the laws as they're supposed to do. I don't respect the aim, but that method is as it should be.
Okay, then I need to correct myself because I didn't realize that's where you were going. I totally agree with you. They are following the correct procedure, and I'm glad they are doing that. Where I'm having a problem goes right into what you just said, having a problem with the aim. And the aim here is to get Apple to create forensic tools for the FBI.
Yeah, and to write an entire operating system. Of course, really, that would probably be more like modifying the entire operating system to essentially become a backdoor for the government. I have a huge problem with that, but even that can still go through the judicial process through appeals.
It can, yes, and it definitely needs to go through the judicial process, and hopefully the courts will ultimately side with Apple on this. That
what Apple's arguing is that once they create this tool, the cat's out of the bag. There's no way to suppress it anymore. They could delete it, and then the next court case would require Apple to build it again, and then it would be leaked somewhere through the process of hundreds of people standing in line to want to access this tool. And every time Apple deletes it, another court order comes along and says, recreate it. And eventually it ends up in the wrong hands, and then once it's leaked, the game over.
Well, the people are already lining up. There have been law enforcement agencies, and this is in Tim Cook's letter. Law enforcement agencies have been lining up telling Apple they're ready to use this tool once it's available. Mm-hmm. Now, the way it will get out, regardless of the FBI saying Apple can keep the tools in-house, it's not a problem, just give us remote access, doesn't matter, because what they're asking Apple to do is create a forensic tool or an instrument that they will then use to collect evidence in the case. Now, once you create a device or a tool that is designed to collect evidence, it is open to scrutiny, And that's a very intentional thing, because you want to make sure that whatever evidence you are collecting is not tampered with intentionally or by accident.
Good point.
And that the data that you are going to present is not being skewed in a way that that inadvertently helps or hinders either side. You know, the evidence just simply needs to be the evidence. So what happens is you then take this tool, whatever it is, and now it has to be handed over to the defense, and in this case into the hands of privacy and security companies, other forensic analysis companies, so that they can analyze the tools. Now, part of that analyst,
out of control at that point.
Yeah, it's totally out of your control. But get this, to do that, you need to be able to test multiple devices to make sure that the results that you're getting are what you expect. So Apple will have to hand over a version of this tool that is not bound to a single iPhone, like the FBI is requesting. It has to be open so it can be tested on multiple devices.
Yeah, that single iPhone business is complete balderdash. I'm intellectually offended by the FBI and the White House and the DOJ saying, but it's just for this one phone. It's balderdash. It's a lie.
Yes, I agree completely. And let's say that Apple is compelled to unlock this iPhone. They finally have to create the operating system. Inside the iPhone, they find new information, which I think is highly unlikely at this point, that then points to someone else that was directly involved. They now go and arrest that person, and they try them.
They'll have access to their iMessages.
So yes.
There will be new information.
There may be new information.
Okay, you're right. I would say there's most likely to be new information.
My guess is that there will be new information that's irrelevant to this case. And that's because if I were a bad guy and I had two iPhones or two smartphones, one for my work and one for my personal use, and I destroyed my personal use device right before I went on a shooting rampage, that's the device where I would have been doing all this communication that could incriminate me and other people.
You never know, man.
You never know, but it's likely. Anyhow, you totally sidetracked me. I was about to hit everyone with a zinger point. The point is, I remember where I was going. If I were someone that was arrested as part of an investigation, and it had been because Apple had hacked into an iPhone for the FBI, I would need to find a new defense attorney immediately. If they did not file with the court the documents that they needed to file to get a hold of all of that software, so that we could have our own independent team analyze everything.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I have one more point though about going through the courts versus this, you know, having some sort of commission level discussion. Even if the courts continue to get this wrong, and I believe that the courts have so far gotten this wrong, you know, because I'm like an expert in stuff,
right?
It can still be addressed through legislation. The tool that's being used by the FBI and therefore the courts to make this happen is the All Writs Act, again, which can only be invoked because there is no statute. So this can still be addressed properly by Congress, even if the courts get this wrong throughout the appeals process.
Yes. And this is where I think a commission could potentially be useful, because if the people that ultimately end up writing legislation that directly impacts this are better educated, we would hopefully have a much better and appropriate legislation.
Yeah, well, maybe they could get General Hayden on that commission.
Oh, that would be awesome. I like that guy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Hey,
he seems to get it.
Yes, he does. I really like his take. And I'm going to make sure that in the show notes, there's a link to the piece that you wrote about that, Brian. just because that was fantastic.
Sweet.
We're out of time, so we are going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us, Ben.
Totally awesome to have you here. And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're welcome.
And always love getting your perspective too. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.